Matthew chapter 7. We are still looking at the Sermon on the Mount. It is so full of instruction, so full of wisdom. It's one of those portions of scriptures that we need to read often. In this sermon, our Lord has given us the character of believers, the believer's character and conduct in chapter 5. He's given us the character of true worship and to trust Him to provide and to seek the kingdom of God first, above all else, but nothing above that, but nothing above Him, but to seek Him. And here, He tells us, judge not that you be not judged. Now, this scripture, without doubt, is one of the most misused scriptures in the Word of God. Start to say something about something and don't judge. You're not supposed to judge. You know, judge not. That's what it says. Yeah, but do you know what it means? Knowing what something says and knowing what it means is two different things. Two different things. This world will be turned over to absolute wickedness if all judgment were set aside. You couldn't even sit on jury duty if that were the case. If you take this to the extreme, we have to have some spiritual common sense here. You know, it's important, and I think you hear me pray often in my prayers here, that God would enable me to rightly divide the word of truth. It's so important. And I realize this. It's so important. It's of the utmost importance that I rightly divide the word of truth. I'm not here to give you my opinion. You know, truth is not an opinion. Truth is not an opinion. Truth is truth. It's just the way it is. And I'm here to give you the truth. And it does not mean that we're not to judge anything. Paul said this over in 2 Corinthians. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Judge yourselves. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. That's what he says. He says over in 1 Corinthians 10:15, judge what I say. Judge what I say. And this morning, you take your Bibles, take the Word of God, and judge what I say this morning, whether it's according to the Scriptures or not. Our Lord was talking to a young man one time and asking him which is the greatest commandment, and the man answered him correctly, and the Lord said, thou hast rightly judged. You've rightly judged. Paul wrote over in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Prove all things. Now, how can you prove all things without judgment? How can you do that? You can't. You can't. You can't. You got to pass some kind of judgment on it. You have to. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. Over here in 1 John, chapter 4, listen here what John writes. Beloved, believe not every spirit, believe not every preacher that stands in a pulpit, opens a Bible, and claims to preach the gospel. But what? Try the spirits. Try the spirits where they are of God, And the way we try the spirits, the way we judge a man's message, that's what he's talking about, the way we judge a man's message is by the Word of God. We take the Word of God. You know, I can remember so clearly when I heard Henry preach the gospel for the first time. I told Henry this. I said, for the first time, what you were saying matched what I was reading. It was like a puzzle that came together. It matched what I was reading. And that's why I say here, try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now you have to pass some kind of judgment on that. And the judgment we pass on is according to the Word of God. Evil doctrine is to be judged, to be condemned. It's so important that we find the meaning of what our Lord is teaching here, as well as throughout the whole Word of God. Sound judgment is commended. To use sound judgment. Here's the lesson. Here's what our Lord is saying. Avoid a critical, scrutinizing spirit. A spirit of censorship on your brother or your neighbor. Saying a person is lost because they don't do certain things, or, you know, we got to be careful with that. A man will stand or fall before his own master. Now, I know no one saved that believes a false gospel. I know that. You know that. But he's saying here, avoid a critical spirit of your brother, your sister. Avoid that kind of spirit. Avoid that kind of scrutiny. Who am I? Who am I? You know, there's one thing I've learned about critics. They can't enjoy anything. A critic can't enjoy anything. Was it that Siskel and Ebert? They criticized the movies every time they watched movies. And I told Vicki once, I said, man, I hate to be a critic. You can't enjoy a movie. You can't even enjoy, you can't sit down and enjoy it. You have to be a critic all the time. A critical spirit reveals an inward problem of pride. I'm setting myself up as a judge. As a judge. And there's one thing I know about criticism. We never criticize accidentally, do we? Have you ever accidentally criticized somebody? No. Every time I've ever done it, you've ever done it, we've done it on purpose. And our Lord says, avoid that. God's children are to avoid. Don't be given, he's saying, don't be given to fault finding. And especially deadly in leaders to be given to fault finding. A critical spirit is born from a self-righteous nature. It's love of self. Usually if I'm taking somebody down, it's so I can build myself up. That's exactly what it is. I can build myself up by knocking somebody else down. That's why the Lord, we are told in the scriptures to consider one another before we consider ourselves. To prefer one another before we prefer ourselves, before ourselves. A person has to think more highly of himself than he thinks of others. I have to think more highly of myself than I think of you, to have a critical spirit. Don't pick at others, and here's what he's saying. We'll see this here in a minute. Don't pick at others' little faults. They're little faults, which mean nothing. When I've got a beam, a log in my own eye, if a brother or a sister is walking disorderly, they are to be rebuked. They are. The scripture teaches us that. A pastor is to deal with real problems in the congregation. If something crops up, he's to deal with it. He has to. But avoid a critical spirit. Setting myself up as God. setting myself up as the one who has all the answers. I don't. And listen. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And here's a principle. This is what our Lord is saying in this sermon. Here's a principle. With the same judgment you pass on others is exactly the same judgment God's going to pass on you and me. With the same spirit that I use against you, God's going to use against me. That's what he's saying. That's the principle of right here, what he's giving. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You'll be dealt with by God and others the same way you deal with others. Solomon said, to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You must show yourself friendly. If you're going to have friends, you've got to be a friendly person. You and I get back exactly, it's what our Lord's teaching, we get back exactly what we deal out. We get back. If I criticize others, if that's me, if I criticize others, I can assure you, others are going to criticize me. They're going to criticize me because I'm going to get what I give out. We attract what we dish out. If you and I dish out hate, hate is what we're going to get back. If you dish out love, love is what you're going to get back. If you dish out kindness and if you love, that's what you're going to receive. That's our Lord said that's a principle. That's a principle he's giving us here. That's what I want. I want to be dealt with in love and kindness. Well, then deal that way. Deal that way. Now he shows us here what this problem is. In verses 3 and 5, he said, why beholdest the mote in thy brother's eye? Why do you behold, looking under a microscope, like you've taken a microscope and you're looking at this speck of dust, this little dust in your brother's eye, but you're not even considering the log that's in your own eye. Remember, the Lord of glory has given us this sermon. He's given us this message. And what he's saying here is hypocrites are always trying to straighten out somebody else. And even believers can fall into this. It's sad, but it's so. But even believers can fall into this critical type of spirit. A brother has a small piece of dust in his eye, and we suddenly become eye surgeons. Let me operate on that. Let me take care of that problem. I can take care of that problem for you. No, you'll make it a bigger problem. Yeah, we want to take out his eye when just a little eyewash will do. put a little eyewash in that. No, let me do surgery on it. That's why he says don't get into that kind of spirit and attitude. It causes more problems. The problem is, it's not that my brother has a speck of dust in his eye, but I've got a beam in my eye. I'm the one that needs eye surgery. And the beam in my eye, you know what the beam in my eye is? It's that critical spirit. That's what he's talking about. Your brother has a dust in his eye. You got a beam in your eye. You got a critical spirit about you. And he says, don't let that develop. Don't let that develop. I don't know of anything that causes more division in a congregation, in a family, than a critical spirit. Do you? I don't know of any. And our Lord condemned this among his children. Just like your children at home, you don't want them to criticize each other. You don't want them to do that. Well, how much more God's children? You're the light of the world. Our Lord won't allow it in his house. Let our judgment be directed at ourselves first. Let it be directed at ourselves. That's what our Lord's teaching. Examine yourselves first. Look in the mirror first. He says there first, in the, I believe it's verse 5 here, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. First, take care of your problem. You know what's amazing? If we do this first, it's amazing how clear our brother's eye will look. If we cast out the beam in our own eye first, if we pass judgment on ourselves first, it'll be amazing how clear their vision is, their eye is. If we take care of that first. And then he goes to this subject in verse 6. Give not that which is holy. And I believe he's speaking here of the gospel. Unto dogs. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Now this is, goes back to where in the first verse he said, judge not that you be not judged. And I said we have to have an understanding of what he's talking about, because how can you judge what a dog is or a swine is if you don't pass judgment? So you have to have a correct judgment. And here he says, when you identify a dog or a swine, don't cast that which is holy before them, to the dogs or to the swine that'll trample them underfoot. Now I know this. We are to preach the gospel to all men. We do. We want to preach the gospel to all men. But when a person or a people openly defy the gospel and they hate the gospel we preach, our Lord says, leave them alone. That's what he's saying. Leave them alone. That's what he said one time to the disciples over in Matthew. Look over in Matthew 15. Just turn over a few pages there. In Matthew 15. In verse 10. It says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After they heard this saying, they are mad, they're upset, they absolutely hate what you just said. They despise it. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. You go on now. You go on to the next place and you preach. You go to the next house and you preach. In one place he said, if that house receive you, peace be to that house. But if they don't, you shake the dust off your feet against that house. And you leave it. And you leave it. And that's why he's saying here, if a person ridicules me over the gospel and despises it and wants nothing to do with it, the Lord said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He says, don't cast your pearls. We have the pearl of great price in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's precious. He's precious. Now don't you take that and just throw it out there like it's nothing. Like it's nothing. Don't cast your pearl before swine to be trodden under their feet in the mire and in the mud. There truly is a time to leave someone alone. Look over in Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, look in verse 45. In verse 45, Acts 13. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. See, they're speaking against it, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. But the Jews saw, when they saw the multitudes, it says they were envious, and they spake against those things. They spake against them. And Paul said, seeing that you've judged yourselves unworthy, we turn to the Gentile. We're leaving you alone. We're leaving you alone. We do not force feed the gospel to anyone. We don't force feed it to anyone. Our Lord doesn't force himself upon anyone. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. We are willing servants. We willingly bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't force himself upon people. We don't force the gospel upon people. We preach the gospel. And those who don't want it, we move on. We move on. Then he encourages us here in verse 7 to pray. Ask. He's given us some principles here by which we are to spiritually operate. Ask, and it shall be given you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God would actually give you what you're asking for? If it's according to his will, I guarantee you're going to get it. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Our Lord here is encouraging us to ask for what we need. To not be backward. I mean, here the God of heaven and earth has come into this world. And he's saying to all those who believe on him, ask me. Ask me. He's encouraging us to ask for what we need. Our Father knows what we have need of, so ask him for it. That's what he's saying. You need forgiveness? Ask for it. You need mercy? Ask for it. You need to be saved? Have you ever asked God, have you ever just asked God to save you? Lord, that's what Peter, remember when Peter was drowning, he was going down in the water? He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out. And he said, well, come on out. And Peter stepped out on the water, and he took a few steps walking on water. And then he began to sink. And he prayed, probably one of the best prayers anyone could ever pray. He said, Lord, save me. It's that simple. Lord, save me. Ask and you'll receive it, he said. Ask for mercy. Ask for your daily bread. Ask for whatever the need is. James said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask for the wrong reason. He said, to consume it on your lust. But whatever you sincerely need, mercy, forgiveness, your daily bread, ask for it. And seek it, he said, with all your heart. When the scriptures tells us to seek, when the Lord tells us in the scriptures to seek, that's not just kind of kicking things around, you know, looking around and Well, you know, I don't see it. No, it means throw your heart into it. As Solomon said, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. I was out hunting one time with my bird dog. And I'm telling you, to watch her work was exhausting. She would just, I mean, it was every, she didn't leave a leaf unturned looking for a bird. I mean, it was like, I mean, for hours like this. I mean, and I said one time, I said, man, if I would do my job like she does hers, I'd be a zillionaire. But if I worked like she was working for that, finding that bird. Can you imagine seeking the Lord like that? Can you imagine seeking His face, seeking His mercy and His grace, and seeking to know Him? Can you imagine seeking to know the Lord with that kind of intensity? Well, He says, do it and you'll find. The scripture says, he that seeks me with all his heart shall find me. Shall find me. Now, if I don't find the Lord, if I don't find Him, you know what? I wasn't really seeking Him. I wasn't really seeking Him. Just a little curiosity going on. Knock. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. You see, he's not like us. You know, your kid keeps asking, you say, shut up. I told you no, forget it. No. He says, keep on asking, keep on knocking. And he gives us an example of that unjust judge. You remember that in the scriptures? He said that woman came and she was knocking, and he says, it says he didn't fear God or man, but because she kept knocking and aggravating him and pestering him, he finally got up, opened the door, and said, okay, what do you want? He gives that as an example, as a parable. An example of the parable is this. The teaching is this. Keep asking. You know what that shows? If you keep asking, if you keep seeking, you know what that shows? Faith. You wouldn't do it if you didn't believe. You'll quit. If you don't really believe, you'll quit. You'll quit. You'll give it up. But if you really believe God, you'll keep asking. You'll keep seeking. You'll keep knocking. And he gives us a promise here that he says that it shall be open to you. It'll be open to you. And he gives us an illustration here. For in verse 8, for everyone that asketh, that keeps on asking, receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, would he give him a stone? If I go to God and I'm asking for mercy and forgiveness, if I'm asking for my daily need, is he going to be mean about it and give me a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent, a poisonous snake? Now, listen, verse 11 really got my attention. If you then, being evil, if you have an evil nature, if you who have an evil nature, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, when they ask you, if they ask you for bread, just like we was back at Ashland here, couple of days ago, and grandkids said, I'm hungry. And of course, Mama gets up and she goes and fixes spaghetti. She knows they like spaghetti. Her spaghetti anyway. But they like her spaghetti. And so she goes and fixes spaghetti, and they just clean that plate just like they were famished. She didn't bring rocks on a plate to them. She didn't pull a trick on them. She gave them what she knew they loved and what they needed. And how much more your Heavenly Father? Which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask. I'd have a higher opinion of God We ought to have higher opinion of our Father than we do. We do. We should. We should have a much higher opinion. Look what He's done for us. And look at what He's given us in this life. We're not in hell, are we? I tell you, we have much to be thankful for. Much to be thankful for. How much more your Heavenly Father. Our Father is holy. Our Father is good. And He'll give us what is good. No good thing will the Lord withhold from you. He will not withhold one good thing from you. And then we get to this, what they call the golden rule, and I'll close. Therefore, after all that's been said now, after all we've covered here, therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you want someone to do to you, the way you want to be treated, that's the way you treat others. If you want to know how to really handle a situation with someone, just ask a question. How would I want them to handle me? How would I want that to handle me? If I went around this room and I asked each person here, how do you want to be treated? I guarantee you, you're going to say, some of you are going to say with kindness. You're going to say with respect. With respect. With love, like a brother or a sister. Treat me like a brother or sister. Treat me with love. Treat me with kindness. Treat me with respect. Then treat others that way. And that's the way you'll be treated. That goes right back to the first verse. First part of this lesson here. Judge not that you be not judged. With what measure you meet it with, it shall be measured to you again. Treat others. And this is just not a good saying. This is so. This is so. This is a principle here. Treat others the way you want to be treated, and that's the way you'll be treated. Mean people cannot figure out why everyone else seems so mean. They just can't figure it out. Why everyone else is so mean. It's like stupid people. Probably shouldn't call them that, but you know why stupid people get caught? Because they think everyone else is stupid. And they get caught. And mean people can't figure out why everyone else is so mean to them. It's because they're mean. It's because they're mean. We attract what we are. We really attract what we are. This Sermon on the Mount is like eating a well-balanced meal, isn't it? It's like eating a well-balanced meal. It's what it's like. All right.